This is Steps 8 and 9 workshop. I'd like to introduce our first main speaker, Tamara M.
My name is Tamara, and I'm an addict. Clean one more day through God's grace and mercy. It's always an honor to be asked to do a meeting because it says to me that somebody believes that I can share a message of hope, a promise of freedom that an addict, any addict, can stop using drugs, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. Steps 8 and 9. I'm not somebody that goes through all of the steps until we get to 8 and 9 because the meeting is on step 8 and 9. So step 8 says we made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. It's a step about open-mindedness. So when I first got to step 8 and they said, make a list of all the people that you had harmed, my initial thought was, I hadn't done anything to anybody. You know, everybody had done something to me. I was a victim. I've always been a victim. I'm an only child, the only grandchild, the only girl born in the family. So I've always been a victim. It's always been, and it kind of got me what I wanted, like, and it kind of got me the things that I wanted. So I played victim a lot of times. But our A-step says, there's something in here that always grabs me. It says, while using anyone. It didn't say specifically like my neighbor or my cousin or my grandmother or my mother. It says, while using anyone that we contacted was at risk. Anyone. So a lot of times, thank you, a lot of times I understand that I caused a lot of damage to a lot of people. So the people that I remember putting on my list, because some of the people that went on my list, it was general. It talks about the inability to be able to make amends to some people and to some institutions. Like, I can never go to Maryland National Bank. I don't know if anybody remembers Maryland National Bank. It used to be Green, right? I can never go back to them and say, you know, I was one of the first people that made those bogus checks, right? The ones that you deposited and withdrew the money right back out. I'm sorry. I can't do that. So what I can do is not do that shit anymore. Because, one, I don't want to go to jail. Maybe y'all don't mind going to jail, but first of all, I don't want to go to jail. And then the second thing is, like, that's not the amends that you make to institutions. You just don't do things again, right? You don't continue the behavior. So Maryland National Bank was one of the people on my list, or one of the institutions on my list that I had to put on my list to assure that when I went over it with my sponsor, that I would do things differently and I could see the wrong and the pain that I have caused. It's nothing like causing harm and seeing somebody's face. You know, when you say something, it says harm can be something that you say or something that you do to people. So, like, it's nothing like saying something to somebody and you kind of see them cringe and pull back. So then it bothers me. I can't sleep at night. I'm sad. But it talks about making this list like there is no ninth list, no ninth step. And I know in making the eighth step list, when I make it, it's really to free me so I can be, I can forgive myself. And then ninth step is kind of like so other people can live in their forgiveness once I've come to them. So I continue to write the eighth step. I put a financial institution on there. And then I have to put people like my biological father's new wife. I had to write her name slow. I had to write her name slow. Like capital P. lowercase a and lowercase m. Because I ain't like that bitch. And she was one of the people on the list that I thought had done something to me. Right, so it was very, very hard for me to put her on the list, and knowing that, because we say make an A-step list like there is no ninth step, but you know, as a human being, our conscience knows that at some point we are going to have to confront these people that we have on this list, and at some point it's going to happen, right? So I put her on my list. There was a woman that I put on my A-step list because I was in a relationship. I was raised in Harford County, right? I was raised in Harford County. I hate to say it sometimes because I always thought that I was such a city person. I thought I was so smooth in front of the city. I was raised in Moncton, Jerrisville. And if anybody knows, Jerrisville is about this big on a map. I was raised in Jerrisville. I went to North Harford High. You know what I mean? I want to say stuff like, I went to Lake Clifton, I'm from Midtown. I went to North Harford High. Stop the shit. Right, so I went to North Harford High. But when I came in town, because I wanted to be a city person that was raised in the county, so when you're in the county, I'm in the county, ghetto, I'm too hood, my skin is too dark, and my hair is too nappy for me to be kind of accepted in Harford County, North Harford High. And then when I get in Baltimore City, because I know how to formulate a sentence grammatically correct, I spoke like a white girl, whatever that meant. So in town, I had a lot of contradictions. So I really don't know where I fit. So in both demographics, my mouth was always real strong. I always had something real slick to say in Harford County, like I was from the city. And when I was in the city, I had something real slick to say, like I could degrade the people in the city because they didn't have what I had while I was in the county. The meantime, the whole time, I'm in the middle, like really confused about what to do with my life because I don't know who I am. I'm basing who I am and how I feel on how you treat me. Unbeknownst to me that you don't even know who you are. Right, because most of the people that degraded me, talked about me, they ended up somewhere real close to me in this room. Mm-hmm. Right, a lot of people ended up, you see people years later, and they're like, wow, it's good to see you, glad you made it out of the war. I'm like, yeah, you was in a war too, huh? Because you wanted to harass me, and the truth of the matter is, you didn't know who you were. So my greatest defense, although I cannot fight, has been my mouth, right? So I got to say something slick. I got to say, like, check this out. All that's going to happen is about to go down because I can't fight. I can't fight. I don't have any brothers or sisters. So it had to be slick out my mouth. I had to come fresh, and I had to come, and I had to come strong. I had to hit with some strong words so I could get to my car and get away because I can't fight. So my greatest defense has always been my mouth, which has always caused harm, right? So now I got to put all these people on my list, the people that I say stuff to. when you were short, I would say something about you being short because I've always been insecure about being tall. I'm 5'9", right? So I always had something to say about short people because I always knew the first time I got beat up was by a person shorter than me. So now all short people, I got to say some, right? So now I got a list of short people, right? I'm just telling you, right? This is my list. So I got financial institutions, I have people from the city and the county, I have short people, I have different races. My list is growing because I'm real insecure within myself. I don't even know who I am. But I know drugs made me feel better about who I was, and the minute I got high, I could be anybody. I could be anybody and I could do anything, right? The way I made it into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. I think it was a combination of my history, being frustrated and fed up in life. I was living in Pigtown. And I was in Pigtown and I parked across the street from my house, because on the side of my street, it was street cleaning. I couldn't park. I parked on the other side of my street, one-way street, crack street. And the dude came out, Pigtown, 22 years ago, and he said, "You nigga bitch, you can't park in my grandfather's parking space." And because I can't fight, because I'm scared, because I'm insecure, I'm getting high. At the end of me getting high, I'm hacking. I got a little tiny gun. I shoot and discharge the firearm within city limits. Now, the story was really, really different when I first came. It was like, you know what I mean? I shot him. I bust his ass up. Right? I tore his ass up. It was like, blues, man. That was the story, right? But when you stay here long enough, you do some step work, you can tell the truth that the gun was this big. It was a pop, right? So I shot in the air. I shot in the air. He was standing to the left. I shot to the right and shit. I shot in the air. But I got the same charges, right? So I get the same charges, and I'm down Central booking. And while I'm down Central booking, I say the prayer that gets us all here, like, "God, please help me." Right? Like, "God, please help me." And I really didn't know, and I didn't understand at the time that I got attention, you know, I'm distracted. So I was in Pigtown, I put him on my list. That's the bottom line. I put him on my list, right? And I had to put him and communities and a lot of people on my list because I had caused a lot of damage. It was somewhere in the ninth step that says contacting someone who is still hurting from the burn of our misdeeds can be dangerous, right? So I had to put him on the list, but I knew that I could never confront him again. I knew that I could never go to him. I could never say anything to him. I could never apologize directly to him because it just wouldn't have worked. What I have learned in this process is that, and even though this is not a 10th step, what I've learned in this process is if I learn how to do a 10th step and promptly admit some stuff, then my 8th step list doesn't really necessarily have to grow anymore, right? And it may grow from indirect and unintentional harm, but it doesn't have to grow from malicious and direct harm anymore. So I just keep coming to meetings. You know, if you're here and you're in this process, it doesn't make a lot of sense to come to somewhere where we tell you we can help you feel better about yourself, live better, do better in life, and we say, well, what you need to do is do some step work so you can get to the root of things. Because when I first came, listen, not when I first came, but still today, I am on a quest to try to figure out, like, for real, what the fuck is wrong with me? Why do you hate you so much? Why do you hate you so much that, like, sometimes you'll still, because I had to put myself on the list and still make amends to myself, like, why do you hate you so much? Because I'll say I love me. I'm telling you, I love me today, I love me. But I might sleep with that person unprotected. Mm-hmm. Why you really hate you, Tamara? So, like, I still have to continue to put myself first. I'm on the list. I have to keep me on the list because there are things that I'll do. I'll test drive a car and say, like, the dashboard says 160. Let's try this shit. Right? Like, how the fuck you do that on Reisterstown Road? You know what I mean? You're bound to crash and hit something trying to hit 160 coming through Park Heights and then going up to Owens Mills. You're bound to hit something, right? So I keep myself on the list. Most importantly, if you are here, right, do some step work. The worst that you're going to find out is that your memory is bad because you can't remember all the shit you did, because we rarely have a hard time remembering all the things we did. I say it all the time because I have some friends that sometimes struggle with it. The one thing that people cannot do and cannot cause me any harm any longer is with saying my name incorrectly. I just simply will not tolerate it because my name is Tamara. Thanks for allowing me to show.
Our next speaker, Frank B.
Frank Manetic. Thank you. Thank you for sharing Narcotics Anonymous message. Steps 8 and 9, I'm grateful for Northeast Freedom, all the work put in, because this ain't easy to do, and I've had the honor of being on convention committee, putting this type of work in, where I don't think nothing's going right throughout the whole day, but then comes Sunday morning, that spiritual awakening and freedom hits, and it's a beautiful thing, man. This is a great event. I'm grateful for the gift of desperation, man. I'm grateful that when I got here, the pain that I was experiencing motivated me to engage in the suggestions that y'all gave, which was back then, I'm going to say back then because that's when I got here, dudes was telling me the steps are the solution. And I understood that I need and needed a solution at that time. Right? I wasn't at all confused. I had previous attempts at recovery. I got here April 12, 2002. I had previous attempts at recovery. Not all a waste of time, but all a learning experience, right? So I'm grateful that I made it out of those relapses clean. At some point, able to get clean again, right? And not dead. I want to take a moment of silence, right? Because we talk about that no addict need die from the horrors of addiction. And we got news just now that a friend of ours out of New Jersey, Mike E., is no longer with us, like many other addicts that we see up on the screen right now. And I need to stay centered that no matter what, right, the purpose of a Narcotics Anonymous meeting is to carry the message to the addict who still suffers, right? The message is hope. There's a promise of freedom. And of means we got to put some work in around here. It's not the promise, it's freedom. Because if it was is freedom, then you could just walk in here and get free. But no, it don't work like that. This is a process of foundation. This is a process. Look, man, if you're desperation, if desperation becomes a gift, process this shit. You in a special place. For me, I got here desperate. I got here, we talk about being at the end of the road, man, where we can no longer live with or without the drug. Them what's left. Right? I'm sitting here with a spirit that's in turmoil. I'm confused about who I am. I'm hurt about everything. And this is going to tie into the topic. I'm a victim. I'm an aggressor. I'm all these crazy things. I don't know who I am. We talk about, our literature talks about fractured personalities. I was telling somebody this morning, man, when I was a kid, my mother used to walk around naked. I became sexually attracted to my own mother. When I was old enough to get an erection, if you did some shit like this, you were an addict, all right? I just want to let you know. I used to take my headphones, right? I would keep my bedroom door open, and her room was down the hallway. And I would see her silhouette of her breasts and her ass and shit, right? We're talking about my mother. Come on, baby. And I would turn my headphones up real loud and make it act like one of them was off my ear like I was sleeping. And I would have an erection laying in the bed. And I would hope that my mother would come in and turn the stuff off. But I was hoping that she would touch my penis and do whatever. I didn't know what the fuck was supposed to happen after that because I didn't have that experience yet, right? But we talking about, right, a fractured personality. We're talking about the conditioning of the spirit, right? We're talking about learning these unhealthy belief systems and shit, man. Right? And coming into Narcotics Anonymous and, yo, the drug was only a symptom. First step. Second step, I found hope. There's a solution. Perspective needs to change in step 2, right? If one thing I saw that it was working for y'all. I'm in a homeless shelter, right? 3 weeks clean. My sponsor that I had before said, you need to get another sponsor. This guy comes in, he's screaming, howling, he threw a table or some shit, chairs were flying, he was crying, there was tissues everywhere. I'm trying to describe who he is, in case don't nobody know. And I said, I think this is the guy that can help me. Right? And I got the courage to ask this man to be my sponsor, and he replied very simply, are you willing to put the work in? And he wasn't bullshitting. He didn't say, wait 30 days. He didn't say, go read this, that, or y'all. He said, get that step working, God, and get busy. Right? And we did that. And I built the foundation. I'm forever grateful, man, for my predecessors, man. Right? So I got a really cool 9-step story, right? I'm going to keep it real simple. Thanks for breaking it down a little bit. In the 8th step, I write a list of all people I've harmed, right? It's about willingness. It's about writing everybody on that list. We will discern. We will discern, right? Discernment is a spiritual principle. It's the ability to measure some things, right? It's the ability to see some things clearly. It's the ability to put principles before personalities, meaning that ain't about you. That means, can I get my personality out of the way so I can see what the principle process is in my thinking? My personality is the self-centered nature that's diseased. My personality is wanting what I want when I want it. My personality is fuck you. I'm going to get what I want and I don't care what it does to you. That's the core of my disease. If we want to just get gut level honest, right? So in this discernment process, in the 9th step, I sit with a sponsor. Before making the amends, it says it's very dangerous to make these amends. It talks about the previous 7 steps, unlike any other, or the previous 8 steps, unlike any other, are vital I'm definitely paraphrasing. Jason might be able to help. Definitely paraphrasing, but they are vital for the overall healthy nature of the outcome of this 9th step, right? So the same mother that I used to, now I'm a victim, right? I'm in my active addiction, and, you know, my mother was only 17 years old when she had me. She didn't, you know, my grandparents raised me. I'm from West Baltimore. She did the best she could. When I was about 7 or 8, you know, she had got a house over near Westport. It was a place called Lakeland. You know, so I'm back and forth between my grandparents. I start using, right? She has another family. When I'm like 15, I come in the house with some very dangerous drugs. And they're like, we don't think this is a good mix with these little kids we got and my brothers and sisters and the nature of these chemicals that I had, right? So they were like, you probably need to go somewhere else. So, you know, that created the ability for me to hold my mother hostage in my active addiction. And I'm a parent. I have 5 children, 2 grandchildren. I couldn't imagine what the things that I did to my mother happened to experience. Man, I used to make my mother feel bad about everything that she didn't do for me over $10. I would emotionally blackmail this woman. Hours on the phone. You piece of shit. If you would have raised me right, I wouldn't have been an addict. How the fuck did you let me turn out like this? I'm talking about torturing her, man. And when I got clean, right? And at different times in my addiction, she used to tell me how much she would be up at night wondering where I was and what I was doing. If I was locked up, if I was in prison, everybody was happy. That's fucked up when you gotta be in prison for motherfuckers to feel like you're safe. You know? And I call them from prison. They'd be like, I'm glad you're safe. Well, it is a little dangerous in here, but I'll do my best. You send me some commissary. I get clean. '02. I'm working. You know, I'm becoming. I'm learning how to be a successful member of society, right? And at some point in '05, I'm ready to buy a house. Right? I'm ready to buy a house. Bought my first house in '05. But my mother gave me $5,000 for the down payment. Right? And I didn't know it at the time. She told me later that that was all the money she had. She banked on Narcotics Anonymous, y'all. She banked on the idea that this addict had 3 years clean. She seen that I was going to meetings. She seen that I was doing step work. She seen that I could come in the house and have a logical conversation. And even when they was drinking at the Super Bowl party or Thanksgiving or this, that, and the other, that I would get in, hit, and miss with the family functions and shit. Let me get in early and get out quick. I had to learn to reintegrate into my family. And they all drinking shit. I know that alcohol is a drug. I cannot afford to be confused about that. I have that history. I have that story. I know the substitution game. And so she gives me money. Long story short, probably around 2016 or something, my wife relapses. So I was saving like cash, right? I'm a cash stashing motherfucker because I don't trust the government and all this type of shit. So we got to have a little backup plan in case something gets real wild, right? So I got like a little knot, you know, hidden real good and shit. Well, when it's addicts in the house, real good ain't good enough. Because I'm the dude that used to army crawl across my mother's bedroom floor and reach up. Like the Grinch. Remember how the Grinch's hand went from down on the floor? Get in the pocket. Get up. Take what I need. Army crawl back out of there. She gives me her last, right? This money I had, I noticed the knot started getting smaller. But my wife was using, right? So I take the money that's left, and I take it over my mother's, and I'm like, I need y'all to hold this for me. About last year, it was last year, September 11th is her birthday, right? She turned 70 years old last year. I was up in New Jersey, and I came down for her birthday party, which was out Columbia somewhere at a park. I was able to give my mother $700 cash for her birthday. This woman was 70. She jumped up on the picnic table, was doing like this. She was flicking that shit like she was a stripper and shit. I mean, you know, she was having a blast with this money, right? So we get to talking, and I'm like, oh, shit, the money. I forgot. I don't even know how I did it, but I forgot about the money I gave her. So I asked her, I said, do you, by any chance, you got that money? And she was like, yeah, we got it. Come on. So I go talk to my stepfather, and they're both together, and we're walking and stuff. And they're like, we took the money, and we used it to pay off our house. The same money that they gave me, because it was close to the same amount, right? To buy my first house, they took the money that they had from me, yo. If you're in Narcotics Anonymous and you know the miracle of recovery, then you can probably relate to what I'm saying. Because this stuff always comes full circle, right? And they said, we have the money, but we have to write you a check. The house is paid off, though. Thank you. Wow. They don't owe a mortgage no more.
That's right.
They're like trying to retire and all this stuff, right? And I'm like, here goes the ninth step. I said, I want y'all to keep that money. My mouth said that shit, and my mind was like, you stupid motherfucker. What the fuck is you giving them all that money for? Because look, it's easy to take, but when it's time to make them amends and hit the nitty gritty, man, ain't nobody trying to do that shit. But when spirituality becomes a way of life, sometimes I do things that the disease still don't agree with. The self-centered nature of this shit was like, crazy ass, what's wrong with you? Why'd you say that? You just gave him $5,000. And I said, thank you, Narcotics Anonymous. This morning, every day I wake up, I have a Just for the Day program. I want to thank the people that share about the pain, man. I want to thank the people that share about getting through shit clean. I want to share it to people that show me right how to get through difficult situations without turning into a tornado just because you in a hurricane. Right? So, I just want to say it like this. It doesn't look like me and my wife are going to continue to be together. And I'm not looking to run off and make a mockery of everything that I've learned to represent as being a member of Narcotics Anonymous, right, that's committed to this process. It has been very painful. It has been very difficult. It has been some conversations with anger, with let down, with hurt. And I've seen guys like run off and like, you know, like get with somebody else. It ain't that kind of like, it's not that kind of story, man. This is a ninth step story. This is a story of like, in this discernment process, in this ninth step, right? It talks about making, letting yourself off the hook, right? Making amends to you, right? It talks about in the eighth step, put yourself on the list. How do you put yourself on the list when you're looking at this life you built with all this investment in this shit, man? It's tangled like a fucking spider web, man. How do you... And we've had these difficult conversations and like, compassion is one of the principles we learn in this process, in this eighth and ninth step, right? To care about somebody else, yo. When you can love somebody so much because of Narcotics Anonymous, that even as you know this thing is getting ready to separate and it's going to be no longer, and you can see the depths of everything that you built, you can still have love for this person, and you don't have to attack them, and you don't have to talk about the shit that whatever, but I can stay focused on me. And what is, because my fifth step taught me, what is my part in this situation? And I love her so much, right, that I want to make sure that she's okay. And all the hurt that she's been sharing and the anger and all that, right? One thing I realized is with what came in this relationship was security. And I'm taking that. So we got to the exact nature because I sat and listened to the shit that I didn't want to hear. Right? And I didn't attack her. I prayed. I said, God, give me the courage to sit in this situation without acting out in anger, without character assassinating you, without breaking you down. This is a woman who's put a lot of work in. And I truly believe that sometimes people can just grow apart. Simply put, you will not hear me make a mockery of her. You will not hear me make Narcotics Anonymous an unsafe place for her to come and recover. You will not, I'm not feeding into your separation. Y'all can form your own opinion about the shit. I got a God of my understanding and a network of men that know the exact nature of what's going on with me. And I'm in the care of, man. I'm talking about a third step hit. When you know, even in the midst of the storm, in the middle of the hurricanes, there's no wind blowing and the sun is shining, man. You want to talk all this Narcotics Anonymous shit and how good it is, but can you sit still in the middle of this? And I'm not sharing this for the ha-ha, because y'all, whoever's going to do that, go ahead. Enjoy it. That doesn't matter to me. I have to share my story. I'm going to sit up here and act like ain't shit going on. Fucking hurting, man. Things is unraveling. But my nine steps says this is what's right for you in my spirit. And when we start looking at what everything we got to unravel, it's like, man, fuck it, man. It's okay, man. You're good. Just stay right there. It's all right. Because it's a certain distorted security and familiar pain. You can hold on. You can sit through this. We sat down today and looked at the money and what she deserves. And I'm not fucking playing no games. I'm not trying to, work her or none of that shit. God told me, man, that's her shit, too. Because while I was in school, she worked night shift to support our family because we couldn't afford a babysitter. Y'all see the glory, but you don't know the story, man. Everybody got a whole lot of shit to say about what I do. But you wasn't talking when my ass was working two jobs, he knows, in school full time and all that, going to meetings, being sponsored, sponsoring men, showing up for commitments. I live narcotics. This is my life. I don't got another option. So I know I'm in the care of. Because when I got here, my man Art last night said, yo, how you doing? And I knew that I could tell Art how I was doing. It wasn't, I'm okay. It's, you got a minute? You don't ask me because this one's going to take a few, And we sat down. We sat down, man. And we broke bread. Thank God it took an hour and a half to get our food. It gave us plenty of time to talk about everything. Then my man came over and we talked some. And he was sharing his pain. And I'm like, man, that ain't got nothing to do with the shit I'm talking about. But you know what I realized? Just like in the third tradition, desire is desire, and we don't measure people's desire. Pain is pain, man. It was a lady sharing with me last night that she lost her daughter 18 months ago to an overdose. And we talked. She got 30-some years clean. I listened, right? And then she said, how you doing? I'm good. I'm okay, You lost your daughter 18 months ago, man, and you still in Narcotics Anonymous, man. So the message is hope and the promise of freedom, man. Any addict can stop using drugs. I did that just for the day. Lose the desire to use. I don't have the desire to use drugs, nor a person, place, or thing in this moment. And I want to stay centered in that mentality and find a new way to live. And for me, the new way to live is really new. I don't know where it's taking me, but guess what? That's okay. I never did. Thanks for letting me share.